Good morning. Today is Thursday, March the 21st. By my way of tabulation, the first full day of spring.
That'd be accurate, yes.
Joining us this morning is spring. What, you're an expert on spring now?
I was just going to say, and a beautiful day for the first day of spring out there. We have a little calm between the two storms.
Yeah. Eureka City Superintendent of Schools, Fred Van Fleck. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Does this mean all the lawns at every school in the city of Eureka are going to be mowed today?
I think that is highly unlikely, seeing as how we only have two groundskeepers for the district.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think they could get to all our lawns. I think they could sit on a lawnmower all day long and still not get to all of our lawns.
Yeah, sounds like it's a speed thing on the lawnmowers, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, they just don't go fast enough anymore. All right, let's see if we can find our quote of the day. There's one. Oh, delirium. How did the word delirium come to have its present meaning?
You got me again. I'm an ofer in this.
I think. That's okay. That's all right. The Latin word originally meant to go out of the furrow in plowing. But since the thoughts of a person in delirium leave the beaten track and become a jumble, they too can be said to have left the furrow. A little ag thing there. I thought maybe you have a shot at that one.
Yes.
I wonder if the word dirt is in here.
I liked your one the other day. Was it yesterday or the day before that you talked about the left-handed person and all the sinister stuff that comes with that?
Yeah, all the weird stuff, yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, they don't have dirt. Oh, well. We'll see if we can find something a little bit more ag-related, give you a better chance.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully I won't be an ofer anymore then.
Well, at least, give you a batting average. Did you hear what the Mariners are doing today? I think it's the coolest darn thing in the world.
I did not.
Okay, they're playing the A's over in Japan. They played this morning, was the opener of the season. And then, or last night, and then this morning they're playing, maybe over by now, where Ichiro was on the roster. And he was supposed to announce his retirement after the game today. But they were going to let him take a couple ABs.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that?
Able
to do it there and then move on to other stuff.
That is cool.
Yeah. Every once in a while, it's like Mike Trout signing that big old contract. The right guy does the right thing for the right reason at the right time and is recognized for it. It's just, there are good guys out there, even though we hear about a lot of the putzes.
There's a lot of good guys out there.
Yeah.
There are.
Yeah. How do you guys recognize good guys? I mean, do you have a good guy award or like a good Samaritan? I know you can't probably call it quite like that, as somebody would complain, but, the good citizen of the month or things of that nature. I know in the business side of things, it's, catching somebody doing something good.
Right.
Is there an equivalent of that? Do you have anything like that in your culture?
Well, we do, and we can talk from the student aspect. The student aspect, all of our different sites have different things, and it all really comes back to the behavior system we're using, which is called PBIS, which is Positive Behavior Intervention and Support, and it's all about that, exactly catching people doing things good and reinforcing those positive activities that they're doing. And then you jump up a level, and we also have systems of recognition for our employees. We have special retirement recognitions. We have
That's just recognizing stick-to-itiveness.
Well, retirement is, yes. But
yeah.
We also have, here's one of the great things that we did is, and I think this one is one of my favorite events every year. We do a local, what's called Every Student Succeeding Award. And there is the AXA, which is Association of California School Administrators, sponsor a statewide Every Student Succeeding. And what the premise of it is students who have some sort of challenge in their life, yet despite that challenge, they have shown the perseverance to succeed.
Like overcoming
exactly
something.
Exactly. So we have each of our sites each year in January nominate a student, every student succeeding student, to come to a breakfast, and then we get a sponsor at the Ingomar Club. This year was John Dalby. He sponsored us. And we go over to the Ingomar Club. We have a breakfast with them. They stand up. Their nominator, the principal or the teacher from these little sites, reads a little piece about them. And then we also have a sponsor who covers a breakfast, Dirk Dinsmore from Dinsmore Construction. And then they get up there, they do their thing, and then we select. They're all, I mean, it's just, there's hardly a dry eye in the place when you listen to this thing. And then we select the one to represent Eureka City Schools and move that on to the region. And then there's a regional winner for the Association of California School Administrators. And since I've been here, we started this breakfast this was our seventh year of it. And we've had three winners who have gone to state. This year it was a set of twins who attend Washington School, and they were selected as a regional winners. And so they'll be going down to the state conference and being recognized down there by AXA. So it's a pretty cool deal. And that's one of those things where it's just a different student that gets recognized as opposed to, your normal 4.0 student.
Right. And not to say that a 4.0 doesn't have challenges also.
Right. And I'm not downplaying 4.0. That's a heck of an achievement. Yeah. But this is just some students who may not be.
Seeing that there are extra challenges.
Right.
Perhaps.
Right.
There.
Right.
How do the kids react to each other's stories? Do they get touched also, or do
yes.
Is there a bonding that I mean, I would think that would be a really interesting dynamic to observe.
One of the most interesting times is we bring in a guest speaker each time, and they talk about their life challenges and what they've had to overcome. And we've had people like Betty Chin come in. We had Gary Eagles come in, who talked about his struggles when he was younger. We've had this year we had Rob Holmland come in and talk a little bit about his background. He has a background I won't say it out here on the radio, but he has a background that was, he overcame some big challenges, and ask him someday about that, and I'm sure he'd share that with you. But it's just, I think that's really motivating to the students to see some successful people out there who have really overcome some big challenges of their own.
Yeah, everybody's got them. It's just to what degree and how do you react to them?
That's accurate.
Yeah. Ooh. I like accurate. It's a frightening feeling, but I like it.
Yes, yes.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
We know you love EC Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? EZ Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Del Norte counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's EZ Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Del Norte and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, what are some of the, I mean, you were sharing some of the story, or the concept that the stories are being shared of some of these that overcome. If somebody asked you, because somebody's about to, what are some of the two or three things that go on in the school system that the community doesn't know anything about, that we don't even think about asking, but are really some cool things, the shock and awe part, to quote President Bush, some of the shock and awe of Eureka City Schools. What surfaces in your mind?
Well, I would say, we all hear, and this is the interesting thing about how our news system works and how the internet works with all the people chatting on the internet, and we hear about all the things that are going wrong, and I think
piling on is what we call it, right?
What's that?
Piling on.
Yes.
Everybody just piles on,
Yeah. And what we don't hear about as often as we should is what's going right, and some of the things that are really going right in Eureka City Schools, and some of the things that I'm proudest of, is that connection that teachers make with students. And we have some really dedicated staff out there. And it's not just teachers. Sometimes it's a custodian. Sometimes it's a bus driver. Sometimes it's a school secretary. But just those connections and the connections that the teachers make with the students, I really believe is what makes that difference, especially with students who are maybe not your straight A students. Someone who is struggling to find their identity and what they want to do in life. And if that connection can happen, that is what keeps children in school, is that adult-to-child connection, or the child connection in sports or FFA or whatever organization that might be out there, is just figuring out that connection. Because we have so many children in this community, and Eureka especially, we have the highest homeless population of students in the county by far. They're really focused in Eureka. In homeless, we have this thing called this McKinney-Vento definition of what homeless is, and it's not your traditional definition of homeless, like living on the street. It could be somebody that's couch surfing out there, multi-families living together. So for instance,
so it's a little looser definition.
It is. So parents maybe have their children living back with them and grandchildren living back with them. That's considered homeless.
Grandkids with the grandma, living with grandma and grandpa?
The parents are there, yeah. And if the grandparents aren't the guardians, yeah. So pretty much any time you have somebody who's not really the traditional type person. And our homeless population in Eureka City Schools is over 5%. But you have to remember that it's that looser definition. It's just, if we can find the people to make the connection with those folks, because they have a real challenge. And I've often think about this is, you know, when teachers assign homework, what is the homework environment like at home? And we have to remember that not everyone has the sit-down meal around the table with the family and a desk in their room to go do their homework, or a clean, quiet spot to go do their homework someplace. Many of our students, we're running close to 70% poverty, are wondering where their next meal's coming from. And their solid meals are when they're at school. And so sometimes homework is the last thing on their mind when they're at home, because they have a lot of other things that they need to worry about. So if we can provide that consistent 6 hours a day loving relationship inside the school for many students, that is their normal time of day.
How many of the students take advantage of the school being open until 5 or 6? I don't.
A lot.
It seems like, yeah.
Is that a good number for you? A lot?
No, I mean, that's a general impression. I mean, you drive by any of the elementary schools in Eureka and there's kids playing. And I'm sure that there's neighborhood kids playing. And, you know, it's not just one type or another, or structured or not structured. But you see kids using the playgrounds, you know, kind of like the old days.
All of our elementary schools have after-school programs, and in those after-school programs, they generally run until 5 o'clock at night, and every single one of those after-school programs is full and has a waiting list.
There's a capacity?
Yes. Oh. Yes. Yep. We're in partnership with the City of Eureka. We staff the administrator who oversees it, and then we work with the City of Eureka, and they actually staff the folks who run do the after-school program with the children.
So it's like Parks and Rec almost?
It is,
or
exactly.
Out of that division?
Yep. And then we have a program also at Zane. And then as we get to the high school, there is not an after-school program per se like that, but the after-school program really turns into that point, sports,
the extracurricular
FFA,
stuff, yeah.
All those different clubs and organizations. If you have a student who wants to get involved in something after school, there is something from kindergarten all the way up through high school.
Is there any? I had written down adults when you were talking about faculty and staff, and you know, just somebody at school is the adult. I mean, you know, we had a couple of them in the old days also, but it wasn't anything formal or structured. It was just, you know, somebody you say hi to and hopefully not get in trouble with. But the teachers would have like their classrooms open so you could pop in if you were in fifth grade, but the teacher was, let's say, a second grade teacher. Okay, you could pop in during lunch or whatever and, you know, hang out. And is there any opportunity for the kids to kind of, or for the adult, to kind of follow the kids? I mean, if they did make a connection, to foster that?
Well, within the schools, there's always that opportunity, especially as you get to the higher levels, because when you get to the high school, the following happens through the clubs, and that's in the sports, and that's where the big connections really happen.
It's 8:30.
Decade of Difference presents the High School Innovate Business Challenge.
I'm Genevieve Regley, encouraging you to go for it and submit an idea. I didn't know if my idea would be selected, but it was, and I learned a lot about my idea and myself. It was a great experience and helped kickstart my business while still attending Ferndale High School.
Learn more at decadeofdifference.org. Deadline to enter is February 15th. Upload your idea and compete for thousands of dollars. It's the Decade of Difference. Be a part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Superintendent of Schools, Fred Van Fleck. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, by Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. It's interesting, mics come open and all of a sudden you get really formal looking.
Well, you know, I have to put on my radio face.
Yeah, okay, good. Well, that explains then why people give you such a wide berth. If you can just bring it out like that. What are some of the changes that are going on? I know a couple shows back, you'd said that some of the teachers from Paradise are now, and I'm hearing it more and more, so it's not really anecdotal anymore, relocating to the coast. And that some of these job skill sets that people have been looking for are kind of finding their way here on unfortunate circumstances, but nice that there's positions for them to be able to be here with. Is that starting to fill in the voids that you have with the retirements and some of the unfilled positions?
Well, we did have one mid-year vacancy of a teacher whose husband got transferred back to Hawaii, and so she requested to be on leave through the end of the year, and we said if we could find a suitable replacement, we'd allow that to happen, and we did find a suitable replacement, and she's out of Paradise. And so we did hire a teacher out of Paradise.
So you got a husband in Paradise. And yes. You got a teacher out of Paradise.
Yes.
Okay, we'll work with that one.
Yes. Literal and figurative. So she is working for us and doing fantastic. And we've also received several students who have come over and enrolled in our schools from Paradise as well.
That's probably as strong a barometer, huh?
I would say so, yes. And I couldn't give you an exact number right now, but it is definitely more than five. I do know of five right off the top of my head, and it'd be a few more than that. But definitely an impact on that community, and the impact is coming over here. And another thing that's really interesting, we just hired a new director of special education, and he's currently in Kelseyville. And one of his big reasons for wanting to move up here was he's tired of the fires. They had those big fires down there, and one of them, his house was actually in the news because some firefighters took a stronghold at his house when a fire burned over them, and they think that is the only reason his house survived is because they're doing a bunch of air attacks to try to get these firefighters to survive, and that was on his property. And
so just like dumb luck.
And then he bought a cabin up around Lake Pillsbury, and the following year is where all those fires were. And so he's just like, I'm done. I want out of here.
God's been talking to him. And now he's listening, huh?
Yes. Okay. So we are reaping the benefits of that as far as having him come up here to be our, actually technically it's a director of student services, but special education is the biggest portion of that position.
It's funny, you don't think about Napa, Sonoma County as being those areas that people would be leaving because of weather.
Right.
But, I mean, I keep hearing people, you know, Sacramento, you know, they're tired of the heat, the valley. Tired of the heat, or, you know, Central Valley, tired mm-hmm. of the, and some of these, that I guess we must be teed up for that kind of stuff. I don't know, you know, hopefully we'll have the jobs to be able to support, or maybe they'll bring some of their creative juices here also. But it's intriguing to be a position where people are coming to instead of people leaving.
Because we've had so many people leaving for so long, yes.
Yeah, yes. The mindset is stopping the loss rather than attracting the gain.
It was interesting. We talked about Rob Homeland earlier. He actually did a board presentation to the Eureka City Schools Board talking about the development in Eureka, and he talked a little bit about the census. And the next census that's coming up, I think, isn't the next census 2022 or 2020?
No, it's every 10. So 2020.
2020, okay. Yeah. And
reapportionment will probably happen in 22. Yeah.
So his prediction on the census is, and I think it's a little anecdotal, but he thinks that our population is going to increase. And
we finally get over 30,000 within the boundaries of?
He didn't give a number, but he said just his gut is, based on what he's seen out there, is that the census population in Eureka is going to increase. He doesn't think it's decreasing at all. So
that's interesting because, I mean, there's so many houses now that appear to be vacant. You know,
right.
With the conversion over and not having grow houses anymore.
Right, right.
But we haven't seen a loss. I mean, it's been 28,000 for,
ever?
I don't know, 20, 30 years, yeah.
Right,
so
right.
For it to bump, and we haven't had a ton of new construction, so it would be just a higher rate of occupancy, I would suggest.
Right, right. And I'll tell you, the children sure don't show as far as the population, because generally if you have more people living in a house, it's going to be children because you have families in those houses, right. Or potentially, like I talked about with McKinney Vento earlier, the multifamilies living in a house. So it'll be interesting to see how that works. But school population in the county has continued to be on the decline countywide.
Oh, no question, we're aging.
Right, right.
We're aging.
Yes,
and
yes.
We're aging in the community, yeah.
That's profound, we're aging.
Yeah. You can use that any time this week. You
great.
Don't even have to give attribution. We only got a day and a half, so we're pretty safe on that one.
Yes.
Status update on Jacobs. Anything percolating? Do you anything to the point where you're able to share?
Sure. Conversation's still happening with CHP. School board will be making the decision on April 4th, Thursday, April 4th, on finally planting their flag in the sand, in the ground, wherever you plant a flag. I guess it's drawing a line in the sand, planting your flag in the ground. So I'm crossing
my... don't put it in your foot. Yeah.
Anyway, they're making their final decision on we're going to sell the site or we're not going to sell the site. Once they make that decision, let's say they say we're going to sell the site, then we're going to open up all those possibilities like CHP, developers, whatever, that conversation will happen.
Yeah.
Or if they say we're not going to sell the property, then we go down that road of demolition, what the site will look like, what it'll be used for. And so this is a pretty big mark where they'll be making that decision to provide direction to staff on which way we're going to go. So the thing that I would underscore is while this is a big decision, it is not the decision of what will happen there. It is the decision of whether we're going to part ways with the property or keep the property.
You're eliminating some.
Right.
Making the decision.
Exactly.
Status quo is not an option, though.
Status quo is not an option. We actually have new directions out there right now. We have some folks that are residents out there on the property who are monitoring the activities that are going on out there, making sure that none of our transient population are sleeping out there. And so that's already had a positive impact on the campus, and the community around there have been appreciative. They're very supportive of them being out there.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The Los Angeles flight is a great success. Did you hear? Starting May 29th, we'll have a second departure to Los Angeles. It makes it even easier to visit sunny SoCal. What's more, we'll have flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a few hours away from the Mile High City or wherever you want to go. This will make connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. So just continuing on the cavalcade of great things, the high school gym.
Yes.
You knew I was going there, so I've given you a little bit of time to think about it.
Holy smokes, that thing's been frustrating.
Can you at least dig and get rid of the asphalt that's there to show like something's going on?
We are getting close to breaking ground. How many times have I said that?
are we counting years or months or days?
Yes, yes, yes. So where it's at is at a place called DSA, Division of State Architects. It's been in there for months.
They still have it?
They still have it. They kicked it back to us once and said that they wanted all these updates. The problem is the Oakland DSA office, where all of our projects need to go, has this huge backlog. And so these projects just sit in there for months at a time. We are looking at a start of probably right around September of this year, September, October, which we
can't
all know
even take
how
advantage
that works
of summertime.
I know. It's driving me absolutely insane that we're not starting this project this summer. This project was originally slated to start in January, February. We were supposed to be starting right now. And that was actually the long-term plan. So we're running about 6 or 7 months, 8 months, somewhere in that vicinity behind a lot of it. So there's two real main things that are pushing that being behind is getting the consultants on the planning. Architects, not a problem, but getting like the engineers as far as drawing up all the plans and everything, they're just so backlogged right now, it's incredibly difficult.
Are these local firms or are these regionals that specialize in this kind of structure?
It's a combination of both. The engineering, a lot of it's happening locally, and some of it's happening regionally with people that specialize in it. So there are very few architects up here that do big projects like this or have the experience in a big gym like this. And so the architect that's actually doing the gym is an architect that's originally from Fort Bragg, but down in Turlock right now. But the architect that's doing the ag building is local right here in Eureka. And so the ag building is a little, not quite as complex as the gym. And so we're able to keep that one local.
Are both of them hung up still at the in the Oakland office?
That's correct. The ag building, which is the three classrooms in the shop, is hung up in those two lab, science lab classrooms, one regular classroom in the shop, hung up in Oakland as well. But it's probably about 2 months ahead of the gym building. So we're anticipating to start on that this summer.
So at least you'll be able to take advantage of the kid-free campus for a little bit to get some of the big, nasty, ugly
part taken care of. And we're a local contractor on both those. In fact, it's the same contractor doing both those projects. Dirk Dinsmore from Dinsmore Construction will be building those two projects.
Well, it'll be nice to be able to get something going. But, yeah, I'm surprised that the state doesn't hire another person. I mean, it's not like they don't have enough money to do that.
We actually requested to have it transferred to the Sacramento office so we could get it through quickly.
And you got shot down?
We did. But I will say this real quickly in the end here. Washington Elementary, the drop-off area, will be breaking ground here in the next month or so.
And that's real dirt, too.
That's real dirt.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Absolutely.
Let's see everybody tomorrow.